We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. No Jack Manuel again, but we got a special guest today, Corey Waldron, my co-host on the NBA outlet, as well as the host of Full Access Hoops. What's up, Corey? How are we doing?
I'm buzzing for the first time.
Yes, well. You're buzzing. Also, Corey's Central Division lead for OTG Basketball, so obviously he's familiar with the Bucks in that division. We're going to talk a little bit Bucks, talk about the Hornets game, also get Corey's perspective on the Nets. As always, check out the Buzz, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But let's get right into the game today. You know, big defeat. Bucks came out on top, 129-115. Nets were shorthanded. You know, no D'Angelo Russell, no Ed Davis, both resting. You know, Allen Crabbe, Trevion Graham, and Caris LeVert all still out. And Rondé also got injured in the first couple minutes of the game. Nets showed some heart. But what were your thoughts about this one, Corey?
I mean, realistically, missing as many guys as the Nets missed tonight, you knew they were already playing undermanned. And the Bucks came out, I thought, a little bit slow at first. And then the Nets hit their first two threes from Dinwiddie and Harris. Then the Nets got a little bit careless, I felt, in that first half in particular. The Bucks didn't necessarily capitalize on it, but the Bucks got so hot from three. You know, Brook Lopez, I think, had five threes in the first half. And Antetokounmpo, he's pretty much on all night. Chris Middleton as well. The one thing that the Nets did really well, I thought, throughout the game was get to the line. They just didn't capitalize on some of those free throws. So I know if they had, they were, what were they,
24-35. 24-35.
Okay, yeah. And obviously, you hit those free throws. This is only a 4-point game. At one point in time, they probably could have even had maybe the lead if they had hit some of these free throws.
Yeah, definitely. And shooting 68% from the free throw line is not great. And like you mentioned, the Bucks were just scorching. 21 threes out of 51, 41% from deep. Just a big time game. Even Giannis Antetokounmpo hit two threes. You know, it's just probably the first time that's happened all season. You mentioned Brook Lopez. He was definitely looking for revenge in seven threes, 24 points, super efficient. You know, a lot of guys just played really well for the Bucks. Chris Middleton, 11 of 15 at points. It just felt like he didn't miss. And a lot of those shots were contested as well. So, I mean, you just give the Bucks props. And like you said, the Nets going to this game shorthanded, you know, definitely tired as well. They've also played the most games in the NBA up to this point, as well as this feels like they played like nine back-to-backs, and this is their third game in four nights, coming off a game where they played 22 hours ago in Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy. I saw the Jared Dudley tweet prior to the game, having to play a game that quick turnaround. He's made a good point. You know, that's what they're trying to eliminate, and that's really rough, especially when you're missing key guys like D'Lo.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt like this was a game that D'Angelo probably would have done really well, because Lopez usually tends to like sink back on pick and roll defense. He, you know, you would be able to capitalize in that mid-range game. But like you said, resting wise, it's extremely tough, especially if you've played the most games in the season, you know, three games and four nights, and you're traveling from North Carolina to Milwaukee. It's not like it's a short travel, you know, something like Boston and New York or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not a cakewalk.
Who did you think played well for the Nets tonight? Obviously, Shabazz, Kenneth Reed showed up. What did you think of those two?
Kenneth Reed was great to see. Because I actually, one of the first possessions, I think it was the second half, he didn't close out quick enough on a Brook Lopez three from the top. And I thought, I didn't like the effort from there. But then he played, I thought, phenomenal following that slow closeout. In 27 minutes, you know, he had 21 and 10. And then Shabazz, he stuck out the most. I mean, he came off the bench in the first half, and it kind of looked like he had that feeling. And, of course, he had 32 points, 7 assists. He was a huge part of that big run they went on in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Shabazz was awesome. You know, obviously, defensively is his issue, and they played the zone tonight, so that really helped and kind of hit him. And offensively, like you said, he just cooked 9 of 15 from the field. Also, love the fact he had 12 free throw attempts. He just looked very confident out there. He also had a pretty solid night last night in Charlotte in 11 minutes, so big props to Shabazz. It'll be interesting to see what happens when D'Lo is healthy, if he gets back in the rotation or a team calling about him.
Yeah, and I really like that guy, Pinson. This was his
two-way contract, D'Lo Pinson.
Yeah, he played really well, I thought. I liked his aggression. He had some nice ball movement as well in the fourth quarter, making the extra pass. And I thought he was pretty aggressive. You know, he got his first NBA bucket. He had, I guess, his first points from the free throw line, but he got his first bucket tonight, so that was cool to see.
Yeah, Theo definitely, you know, there's been some real promise. He's coming off a triple-double last night in the G League. So Nets fans have been excited about him. He looks like he could be a solid role player for the team, just needs a little bit more development. But I will say, going back to Fareed, probably, you know, more impressive performance than I expected from him. Like you said, early on, he wasn't necessarily great, missed a couple closeouts, also had a couple issues rebounding communication-wise. But there, from there on out, he was great rolling to the rim. He definitely brought something different to the offense.
Yeah, for sure. It's actually funny because I had, like, the thought in the first half where I was like, man, this could be one of his last destinations. And then in the second half, he made me eat my words. I thought, all right, there's probably a role for Fareed somewhere in the NBA if he plays like this, because he had a lot of effort, a lot of hustle.
Yeah, and that's something you really want to see, and that's how he's going to earn minutes on the court. This is, I think, his 10th game of the season. Obviously, mostly playing garbage minutes. This was his first real chance to have an impact on the game. Also thought Joe Harris wasn't bad. Only 21 minutes, but 15 points, 5-8, 4-5 from three. You know, Joe's consistent all season long. Anything else the positive front, Corey?
No, I wanted just to say Joe Harris, too. I thought he was really aggressive early. He just didn't get a lot of run time in the second half.
Yeah, I think Kenny just wanted to roll with that second unit because they were just kind of clicking. You know, another rough game for Spencer Dinwiddie. It looks like fatigue's kind of catching up to him a little bit. He'll definitely benefit from the three-day rest coming up. Jared Allen, we got to talk about him real quick. He didn't necessarily have an amazing game, but he was able to block Giannis Antetokounmpo at the rim. Now adding to his list, Giannis, LeBron James, and Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. He's got some big-name blocks. They face Anthony Davis, right, next?
Yes,
or some,
January 2nd.
All right, so then another chance right there to add to that list. But he's becoming a top, maybe even a top five rim protector in the NBA. He's fantastic around the rim, has no fear when superstars are coming down on him. He's been impressed. But I actually wish I got to see more of him tonight.
Yeah, it definitely would have been interesting to see what he could have done if he was out there a little bit. But like I said, I think you just want to roll with that second unit because of the energy they were bringing out there. Any other thoughts on the Bucks and Nets game?
I thought Jared Dudley plays like a solid veteran role. I mean, he takes a lot of, I mean, he only took five shots. I feel like he shot a lot more than that. I don't know. He seems like every single middle-aged man I've ever played basketball with.
Fundamentally sound out there. He just doesn't do anything flashy, but, you know, not a great scoring game from him. He's shooting a little bit better in previous games, but he just does some of the small things that you really like out of your veterans. You know, less minutes, he probably would have been better, but in this situation, it was fine. He played that much.
Yeah.
But moving on from the Bucks and Nets, going over to last night's loss, it feels like the first time the Nets have lost back-to-back games, I think, since the first week of December. So it's a good feeling for a Nets fan that they haven't had to feel this often. But they lost a home-and-home to the Hornets after the OT win, 87-100. No, not a great start in this one. The first quarter was pretty bad, and that pretty much hurt the team. What did you think about this one, Corey?
Just watching the condensed-down version, D'Lo looked like he had it going. He shot 50% from the field. That's always promising when you get that little point guard battle in which they have between D'Lo and Tony Parker. Not Tony Parker, Kemba Walker. Tony Parker came
Yeah,
up.
Tony Parker played like he was back 5 years ago.
Yeah, 9 for 14 from the field. He was the closer for the Hornets last night. Yeah, it just looked the Nets were a little bit flat. Dinwiddie is what hurt them last night, just looking at the box score.
Yeah, it was definitely – it's been two rough games for Dinwiddie after an amazing stretch where he was averaging over 20, close to 50% and 40% from three. So he's kind of cooling off a little bit. Damari Carroll had a solid game against Charlotte as well. But like you said, just energy wasn't a very, you know, energetic matchup. And they had a really bad first quarter, like I said, 33-17, dug themselves in a hole. From that point on, they won the rest of the games. But if you're not playing a good first quarter and you dig yourself in a hole, especially when you're not the most talented team in the league and you know Charlotte wants revenge after the overtime loss – it's going to be tough to win.
Yeah, the only turn and Charlotte only had 8 turnovers last night too.
Yeah, and that's been a problem for the Nets is not forcing a ton of turnovers.
Yeah, I was going to say they only had 10 tonight against the Bucks. Is that one of their issues?
Yeah, I would say defensively it was an issue carried over from last season. They've done a little bit better on the winning streak what they had. But still, they need to be a little bit more aggressive defensively. That comes with just not having a lot of defensive talent, you know, missing your best perimeter defender in Caris LeVert. But also, 3-point shooting against the Hornets last night, 4 of 27, 14%. Just, you're not going to win many games if you don't hit 10 threes, especially for this team. So that was just a major issue for there. Shabazz, like I said, played a pretty solid game for the Nets again last night. Other than that, there wasn't a ton that stuck out other than D'Angelo's game, who just looked like a very good confident scorer yesterday. Everyone else kind of struggled, and they just didn't shoot well.
Well, I got a question for you. Just looking, you know, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson was ineffective, obviously, last night, and he got hurt tonight. What are your thoughts on Hollis-Jefferson following that injury?
Yeah, it's definitely – he's been an up-and-down season. He's kind of the good with the bad. He's very energetic, kind of sporadic, though. You know, the previous game against Charlotte, he had some big possessions late in the game, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime. Then this game he kind of struggled. Just like he hasn't really found his role in the NBA. You know, last season was easier because the Nets weren't as good and they weren't as talented, and he was able to kind of get some more ISO and post touches, but that's just not going to happen in a regular NBA offense on a regular basis if the team's good. So he needs to kind of find his role. He needs to relax a little bit sometimes. He just gets out of control.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, defensively, I mean, the potential is definitely there. He's shown a lot of ability on that end of the floor. I think it's offensively, it's kind of finding what he can do and just, you know, finishing off the details defensively to kind of take that next step.
Right. You think missing minicamp probably hurt him too, right?
Yeah, so the injury he had against, so that's actually a great point, Corey. The injury he had over the summer in Jeremy Lin's charity game is the same injury he had tonight against the Bucks. So that's kind of concerning. It's also concerning for Rondé because he's going into a contract here. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
So it's definitely – he's going to be interested when he comes back, how bad the injury is. Obviously, with the buzz, we'll be talking about it as soon as we have the news. But, Corey, got a couple questions for you. You know, we got the outside perspective, so we want to ask you what you think about the Nets. You know, right now they're going to fall probably a game and a half back in the playoff standing, two and a half games from the sixth seed. What do you think their chance at the playoffs are looking like?
I think they have a really good chance to make the playoffs. You know, you look at the teams that are underneath them. Washington, after getting the John Wall news today, it looks like that's not a team to worry about. You know, they got the Hawks, Bulls, they're all out of it. Orlando, I don't see them as a threat. So that makes the Nets already in the top nine going forward. And then you look at the three teams above them, the Hornets, you know, yeah, they beat them in overtime the other night, lost to them last night. That's a team I think the Nets are really close to talent-wise. And then Miami, we know about their issues, their injuries, will they maybe blow it up? So I feel like that's a team they could pass. Detroit, offensive struggles. I think the Nets' chances are really well right now because I don't think any of those teams above them are much better, if better at all.
And then you also have to bring up the point that the Nets are going to be getting Caris LeVert back at some point going forward and some of the other guys. So just going to be a big boost. Like you said, Corey, I agree with you. I think Orlando's kind of fallen off a little bit, similar to last season. Detroit's really struggled. Miami's starting to pick it up with Winslow playing point guard. That's just something to keep an eye on. And Charlotte and the Nets are pretty, you know, even in terms of talent. But it's going to be an interesting year. If you had to put a percentage on it, what would you say?
I would probably say as of right now, I'd probably give them a 65% chance.
And you can follow him on Twitter at Kwald Hoops if you want to give him some love for giving the Nets a good percentage. I've got some other questions, Corey, for you. What has been the biggest surprise in your eyes and the Nets players? You know, who's really stepped up and kind of showed something to you that you didn't expect this season or a little bit faster than expected?
I mean, two people that stick out would be first off, your guy Caris LeVert, who's obviously hurt. I didn't expect any of that hot start that he had, and I tweet at Bill Simmons probably every day for a solid 2 weeks just trying to get some comments on the fact that Caris LeVert was balling out. Aside from LeVert, who has been down with injury, Joe Harris being an effective rotational piece for this team. I mean, shooting 50% from the field, 48% from three. No wonder why Jack is a huge fan of Joe Harris. This guy is a steady offensive firepower for the Nets. And I've been really impressed with Jared Allen. I think he's going to be a very good center in this league for years to come. You know, if you're going to be a center who doesn't have a crazy offensive game, if you don't have a three-point shot, you need to be able to run the floor and be a rim runner. And that's exactly what Jared Allen is. Maybe not as athletic and leapy as a guy like DeAndre Jordan, but can play, I think, somewhat of the same role as DeAndre Jordan. And then, of course, I enjoy D'Angelo Russell anytime he explodes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, Karis was huge before the injury, playing like probably at an all-star level. Joe Harris, what he's really done this year is he's kind of, and he did a little bit last year too, is he went from being a really good shooter to being a good basketball player. You know, he brings a lot to the game, just not shooting, driving the floor, making passes, doing the right thing, the hustle, the effort, and that's kind of the stuff you want to see from one of your role players on your team. And like you said, Jared Allen, I think Nets fans are in love with where he's at and going to the season. Defensively, he's really taken some major strides. I think his biggest issue right now is just the muscle, and when he gets that, he's going to really take his game to another level. And obviously D'Angelo, when he's on, he's on. It's just when he's off, he's off. And that's kind of what him finding some consistency and impacting the game every night is what he needs to learn to do. Corey, what do you think about the Nets in terms of free agency this upcoming offseason? Do you think he'll have a chance at landing one of the big fish?
Yeah, I definitely do. I said this to you, I think, in private, and maybe even I've tweeted a few times. I just think New York in general is a really it's intriguing right now between both teams. But I think if you're looking at rosters, the Knicks, to me, don't seem as close as the Nets are. The Nets, I think, have better, more developed young talent between D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert when he comes back, Jared Allen. Joe Harris is still pretty young. Now they got Spencer Dinwiddie locked up, who's still young. I think for if I'm a veteran, if I'm a KD or a Kawhi Leonard, I look at the Nets team and I see a team that's already competing for a playoff spot with no true star, really, right? This is pretty much it's got to be a collective effort for the Nets to win most games. And I think a superstar will notice that.
Yeah, it seems like the last piece they're missing is a superstar coming in and adding to all this talent with some maybe possible all-stars on the roster, no superstar talent. So I think it's a real possibility this upcoming offseason. Which guy do you think would be the best fit for Brooklyn in terms of, you know, Kawhi, KD, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Chris Middleton, Tobias Harris? Which one do you think is the best fit for this team?
I mean, I think Jimmy Butler would be a really good Brooklyn guy. I think his persona would really fit. But I think if you're looking at the best option out there, it's Kawhi Leonard, I think, would be the guy I want. A guy who can play both sides of the ball. I know you've told me in the past he has ties with some of the guys in the organization, Sean Marks. I think he would make the most sense for me. And that's also the kind of guy they're looking for. It would be a dominant wing like Kawhi Leonard. But I also think Durant would be serviceable if they wanted to go small, because then Ronnie Hollis Jefferson has played that small ball for them in the past, and Durant would be exactly what they needed a small ball for.
Yeah, it definitely is a possibility. I mean, like you said, with Durant being filling in that four spot would be huge, but Kawhi probably being a little bit younger, that offensive and defensive side of the ball. And also, obviously, there's some concern with KD and his attitude. Obviously, Kawhi, that whole thing with San Antonio, but at least it was a little bit more quiet on his end. You know, the latest comments by KD don't necessarily rub people the right way. People hate me because I'm a really good basketball player on a really good team.
No, I know.
KD, that's not why people don't like you, man.
So, I heard that. I was shocked. I don't know what he thinks.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting. But would you say overall, Corey, so far in this season, the Nets have beat your expectations considering the Caris LeVert injury?
I don't want to say they beat my expectations. I think I had them as a possible 8 seed in our predictions. So I don't want to say they definitely impressed me since Caris LeVert got hurt. I guess that would be the true point, especially how they rallied from that eight losses in a row. I mean, they came back from that and they put themselves back in the playoff race. So I think that's this last stretch between the losses and how they turn it around have probably been the most impressive. And as you mentioned, they didn't have their best player LeVert for any of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've heard it from Corey, an outsider, not a Nets fan, a Pacers fan. Also, like I said, does a co-host of the NBA Outlet with myself, also host of the Full Access Hoops. Corey Tyron, where they can find you on Twitter and find your work. I'm sure they kind of know, but.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at KWAL Hoops, KWAL Hoops. You know, we put out some content for the NBA outlet a couple times a week. I have the Full Access Hoops podcast as well, for OTG Basketball. Roll with the podcast network we have. It's booming.
Yes, sir. As always, a pleasure, Corey, talking to you twice today. And as always, thank you, everybody, for listening. Jack and I will be at the January 2nd game against the Pelicans as well, most likely the January 9th game against the Hawks. Be sure to hit us up, let you know what you think about the game and whatnot, and hopefully we can meet a couple of you guys. And check out The Buzz, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Keep buzzing.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.